Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, I am coming to you live with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank all of my listeners from all over the world, and especially my international listeners. And as I declare and decree every week, I believe that if you are listening to this show today, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here to listen at this very moment. And as you are listening, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and specific solution for your life. Well, it is a beautiful day here in Atlanta, of course. For my international listeners, it is springtime. It is simply magnificent. I'm just sitting here looking outside of my office window, and the flowers are blooming and the trees are blooming, and really, it's really displaying the splendor and the magnificence of God. So it is so beautiful. Well, once again, I want to thank all of you for your wonderful emails. I just simply love hearing from you. It's so encouraging. And you know something, I'm always amazed and very grateful to God for how this show is radically changing the lives of people all over the world. Well, let me tell you about my upcoming show next week. Next week, I have with me Mr. James Malinchek, who just appeared, as a matter of fact, last Sunday on ABC's hit TV show, The Secret Millionaire. How many of you saw that? Well, you know, ABC takes America's millionaires away from their lavish lifestyles and places them in poor areas to live and volunteer. And next week, Mr. James Malinchek will be here to share about wealth. But this week, boy, do I have a show for you. Dr. Charles Vance is going to be speaking with us in a minute about prosperity, healing, faith, and the favor of God in our lives. But let's take a quick commercial break, and I will be right back with Dr. Charles Vance.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with the mobile app as well, or just listen through your MP3 player or computer. Remember, loaradionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the station for your well-being.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind.
Here's the most incredible singles cruise ever. That's right. Law of Attraction Radio Network with spiritualsingles.com and matchmatrix.com is putting on the most incredible cruise full of fun and romance. No matter your age, size, ethnicity, or whether you're single or in a long-term relationship, join us to spark up your love life. Our four-night cruise starts on Thursday, October 27th. we set sail from Miami to Key West to Cozumel. Join our relationship experts, tantra experts, love angel communicator, energy healer, and our very own laughing yoga, who will be assisting you in making this the best adventure of your life into love. Rates start off at $5.99, which includes all of the workshops. There are balcony cabins still available, but you must sign up immediately. Rates will go up dramatically after March 28th. Don't wait. Sign up with your $150 refundable deposit and book your cabin now. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to bring your costume for a wonderful evening of fun. Go to loaradionetwork.com and don't forget to tell us who referred you. We'll see you on board.
Well, I really want you to heed those great commercials. And look, I want all of you to make sure that I have an opportunity to meet you personally and sign my book on the Law of Attraction Cruise. You know, I just found out that some of my friends are even going to come with me to support me. So go to loaradionetwork.com and click the link that says Cruise, and I will give you a $50 discount. All right, I would love to meet you in person. Also, I want you to take advantage of all of my great coaching packages that I have for you. You know that I have 25 years of coaching. I'm a licensed therapist. And I was telling someone the other day that a prosperous mindset sees coaching as an investment into their success and into their future, whereas a poverty mindset sees coaching as spending money rather than investing. So why not begin to invest in yourself and your future by partnering with me, and just go to www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, let me introduce my very special guest today, and I'm so excited. Today my very special guest is Dr. Charles Vance, and he is the senior pastor of Empowered Church in West Virginia. He is a successful entrepreneur, investor, and multimillionaire. He's a pastor, of course, and I'm so grateful to have him on. At one time, he was living below the poverty level, but now he is in the upper 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. I originally saw him on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, and I was so moved by his biblical teaching and by the great insight that God has given to him. He is the author of 4 books, Retaining What You Receive, Beyond Faith Believing, Living in a Supernatural Greenhouse, and his autobiography, How I Beat the Odds. Additionally, God miraculously healed him of an incurable disease, and he is just such a blessing, and I am so grateful to have him on my show today, and your life is going to be radically changed, and it's going to be enriched. Dr. Charles Vance, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you. It's great to be along with you today.
Well, thank you. Well, tell my listeners who may not know you a little bit about your life and your journey.
Well, I've lived in West Virginia all of my life so far. West Virginia, I don't know if you live in West Virginia, you know this. If you don't, you probably don't. But West Virginia has just constantly competed for the most poverty-stricken people in the Union per capita. It has always been a state where that we have led the numbers the wrong direction, actually. We've been kind of on the bottom of the list instead of on the top of the list. And I, as I began to grow up, got out of high school back in the early 70s, got a job and was working for a local music store. It was just pretty typical. You know, the mentality when you grow up in poverty, and we weren't in abject poverty in the sense that it was so horrible that we didn't have anything to eat. We were just below the poverty level. My dad worked at a local steel plant and did the best that he could for the 3 boys and my mom and himself. And we just grew up in an atmosphere that we were just barely making it all the time. I remember that Dad made $90-some. He brought $90-some a week home, and my mom would shop all day long on Fridays just to be able to shop bargains so that we would have enough food to eat until the next paycheck. And it was kind of like a hand-to-mouth type of thing. And I grew up kind of following that protocol. You know, that's what I had seen. I really had not been exposed to anything other than that, and because of it, my mentality was that, you know, that's probably how I'm going to be. I'm going to probably be someone that just kind of barely struggles along and tries to fight for everything that they can get. But I discovered some things a few years ago in the Bible that were success principles that catapulted me way, way above what I ever dreamed that I would be able to possibly do.
And so you talked about changing your mindset. How did God begin to change the way you started thinking about success or abundance? What are some of the biblical principles that you can share with my listeners about wealth and prosperity?
Well, one of the things that happened to me many years ago is a friend of mine. It was back in the early 80s. I don't know if the listeners remember, but here in the United States, President Nixon had raised the prime interest rate. He actually hadn't done it. The Federal Reserve Board chairman had raised it to 21% for the prime rate. It was impossible for anybody to purchase anything. I had started in the remodeling construction business and in home construction business. And when the interest rate hit 21%, the prime rate, construction just completely and totally stopped. I was doing anything. I felt like a squirrel foraging for nuts. I was hunting for anything that I could find to make a dollar. If somebody wanted me to cut a limb off of a tree or replace a toilet, whatever I could do to make just a few dollars. I'd gotten in the construction business just a few years earlier and was just about to start kicking off things when this interest rate rose. And I had a friend of mine down in southern West Virginia that was pastoring a church, and he called me. I'd worked at a music store for several years after I'd gotten out of high school and knew quite a bit about sound system installation and different things, audio and video type of things. And he asked me if I would come down. He was building a new church, come to his church building and make some suggestions for a sound system for him. And I told him I'd be glad to do that, and he asked me how things were going. I told him horrible, and I asked him if he would pray for me, and he said no. Now, this guy was a friend of mine I'd known for years, and I thought, man, you're being rude. That's being a jerk.
Right.
I would ask him to pray for me, and he said, I'm not going to pray for you, but he said, here's what I'll do. If you will plan on spending an extra hour or so with me when you come down to look at my new building, make suggestions for a sound system. He said, I want to show you some things. And I said, well, I don't have anything to do anyway. I'm out of work, so I'll be glad to spend time with you. And he set me down and started taking me through the Word of God and showed me some things that radically changed my life. It was probably one of the biggest revelations that I'd ever received as far as a biblical law and a biblical truth, and it was on the law of words. And he told me how that I was sabotaging everything that I would do right. I was sabotaging it by the words that I was speaking. He took me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. He handed me a Bible and told me to read it for myself. He made me read it out loud. He took me to James chapter 3, where James said that you actually set the course of life. You set the cycle of birth by the words that come out of your mouth. And it was revelation to me. I'd been raised in church all of my remembering life, but I had never heard anyone talk about how powerful your words were. And as he began to show those things to me, I thought, man, when I leave his house, my life is going to change. I'm going to start changing what I'm saying. And what I mean by that, and it would be difficult for us to put 8 or 10 hours of teaching here on a one-hour program, but what I simply mean, or what he simply told me, was that I had to get my words in alignment with God's success words. And when I started doing that, things started changing tremendously in my life. And it didn't take very long for it to happen.
So God's success words would not be words like I'm broke or nothing good ever happens for me or this economy is so bad I can't find a job, because words are creative. So what were some of the things, or what were some of the Bible scriptures that you started confessing, and how soon did you begin to see a change in your life?
Well, I'll tell you what I started doing was just started saying, you know, some people think when you start talking, when you have a conversation like this, people think, well, I don't know enough of the Bible to start quoting the Bible. Well, you don't have to quote the Bible. What people have to do, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, what that simply means is it's impossible for me and you to do a radio program that's going to be productive for someone if we sit and disagree the entire time we're on radio. It's impossible for a husband and wife to live together successfully if they are constantly at odds with one another. You'll never be successful in a business with a business relationship if you're constantly at odds with your business partner. So what I discovered was that I needed to start saying what God's theme was for my life. I hope you understood that and the listeners understood it, that God created me to be successful. He created me to be someone, not a loser, but a winner. And when I started understanding that, what I did was adjust my words to start saying winning things instead of losing things. You know, when my friend called me and said, how you doing? And I said, horrible. Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he was talking about Satan. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That verbiage, you know, that's in John chapter 10 and verse 10. That was Jesus talking. The verbiage there is in the present tense. He, and that phrase, I am come, sounds kind of like it's wrong grammar, but it literally is, I'm coming right now, I'm coming right now, and all of the time it's now, he said, I'm coming that you'll have abundant life. Now, poverty is not abundant life, I don't think, by any stretch of the imagination. And I learned as I began to align my words with the will of God and just began to say things that God said about me, within 30 days my life began to change.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you're sharing that, Dr. Vance, because the number one question that I get from my listeners all over the world is, how can I begin to prosper, or how can I begin to receive abundance? And I remember reading about John Rockefeller, and he said God is the one who made him wealthy, and that it happened for him because he began to tithe 10% of his income. Let's talk about prosperity and tithing. What is tithing, and how can a person begin to do that?
Tithing is an extremely important part of, and I guess what I did was jumped ahead of in my life story, because being raised in church, I learned to tithe as a young child. My mom and dad were tithers and givers, and they taught me to do that at a very early age. There are superseding laws in the kingdom of God. Now, what I mean by that, and don't let me lose this tithing thing because I want to come back to it.
Okay.
There are laws in the kingdom of God that actually govern what goes on in God's kingdom. Let me back up a minute. If people understand physical laws or natural laws, like the laws of gravity, you understand that there are laws that science calls the law of lift, the law of thrust, that allows an airplane to be able to fly. It's not because gravity is not at work. It's because those two laws, lift and thrust, supersede the law of gravity and cause an airplane to fly against the law of gravity. There are things that will work like that in the positive, where that you'll get rewards, and there are things that will work backwards to that that will cause consequences to take place in your life. Let me give you an example real quickly. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he said, if you had faith to move a mountain, but you did not operate in love, he said it wouldn't profit you anything. In other words, the law of faith, and the Bible says faith is a law, the law of faith won't work for you if the law of love is not at work in your life. What I had done was tithe, give, I'd given, I'd done what the Bible told me to do, but I was superseding the law of tithing and giving by saying, I'm poor, I'm in poverty, this stuff doesn't work. Tithe is one-tenth. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30 that all of the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, that's pretty simple to me.
Right.
That one-tenth of everything that I've got, everything that you've got, and everybody that is listening to us has, one-tenth of it belongs to the Lord. Now, if you don't, Malachi chapter 3 says, if you don't bring it into the storehouse and give it to the priest that ministers there, the Bible calls you a thief, a robber, someone that pillages, someone that takes something that doesn't belong to them. And because of it, the scripture said you're cursed with a curse. Now, here's where we get into another law, the law of blessing or the law of cursing. James said that you actually have the ability with your words to speak blessings or curses. If you're doing something right, like tithing, but you're cursing the tithe, if you read on in Malachi chapter 3, do we have 6 hours? Is that how much time we have today?
We have an hour, Dr. Vance.
I know that. I'm playing with you, and I'm throwing a bunch of stuff out at you. But what I've seen is I've seen people violate the laws of God and expect other laws in his kingdom to work. They won't. And what we've done many times is we've followed one instruction, but we've not placed ourselves in agreement with the Word of God. And when we refuse to place ourselves in agreement with the Word of God, and that's not always because people are just being obstinate or stubborn. It's sometimes because they just don't know. Ignorance, the Bible says, will destroy people. It'll even destroy God's people, Hosea 4 and 6 says. So what we want to learn to do is operate by the laws of tithing. There's a law of giving. We'll talk about that in a minute if you want to. The law of tithing opens heaven over you, the scripture says. That's
and what does that
God
mean? Does that
3.
Mean that it opens up an idea? What does it mean, opening
well,
up heaven?
You got to understand that heaven is a spiritual place. It's not a natural place. So if heaven's a spiritual place, natural things don't fall out of it when the windows of heaven become open and God starts pouring out a blessing. There are supernatural things that come out of it, ideas, concepts, insights. You know, I've asked this question before. I've asked it on radio programs, television programs, in our church congregation, preaching out to people. I've asked people, have you ever had an idea that you've had that you saw a few years later on an infomercial on TV and said, that's my idea?
Absolutely.
Everybody has, probably. Well, why didn't you take the idea and do something with it is the question. Because what happens many times is God will give us ideas. He'll give us ideas, insight, concept. He'll give us revelation. The list goes on and on. Whatever, as you study the Bible, once you start discovering what's in God and the character and the nature of God, that's what God's going to pour into the life of a giver or into the life of a tither. In addition to that, besides the ideas, the insight, and the wisdom, God will actually protect when we start giving. He'll protect the giving. Old Testament writer said that when you disobey God, he said it would be like you putting money in bags with holes in it. So if you violate scriptures, one area of scripture, but yet you're keeping the other area of scripture, many times, and I've done this before, I've thought, man, I'm tithing and giving. I just don't understand. This thing's not working for me. And it was because I was violating something else. I was doing something that was against the will and the direction of the Lord. And by doing it, I was sabotaging the very acts that were good things that I was supposed to be doing and causing them not to work. The tithe is so very important because it gets supernatural things coming toward us. It gets our hearts and our minds open to the heart and mind of God. And then it creates a protection. I wrote a book called Living in a Supernatural Greenhouse. And the whole concept of that book is that the tithe will protect what you sow. So, too many times people give things and they give them without any protection. God said that he would rebuke the devourer for your sake. And literally, when you go back to the Hebrew there, it says that he would rebuke the eater or the consumer, someone or something that would come and consume your seed. I think the listeners need to understand that the tithe is never referred to as seed. The seed is never referred to as tithe. The tithe is one-tenth of everything that passes through your hands, and the scripture said it belongs to God. Now, what we are supposed to do with it is we're supposed to take it to the priest that ministers at the house of God. He is supposed to take I know this really bugs a lot of religious people, but I'm pretty good for this.
Right.
The priest is supposed to take one-tenth of the tithe and put it into the church and operate the church with it. The priest is supposed to have the rest of it.
Well, you know, I can really relate to that because my father is an African-American woman. My father only went to the eighth grade, Dr. Vance, but he understood tithing. And I think he probably only made maybe $96 a week. And I was amazed that when he passed, how much money he left for my mom and how we were so blessed. And even when I go back to Tennessee, that's where I'm from, people are still blessing me because of all of the gifts and the tithing that he really gave to the church and to the world, actually. And so as a little girl, just like you, Dr. Vance, I think I start tithing when I was in college. And I can tell all of my listeners that when I give and when I tithe and when I give an offering, things, just supernatural things, just begin to happen in my life because Einstein says that everything operates in circles and that when you give, it's just like writing a check to yourself.
Sure it is. And what people don't understand many times is the difference in tithe and offering. The offering is referred to as seed or giving. It's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's referred to as a sacrifice. The tithe is always referred to as God's. Again, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says it's holy unto him. And whether people know it or not, it's actually already earmarked. When you get it, it's 10% of it is already earmarked to God. Now, the tithe is not just 10% alone. People need to understand that it's the first and the best 10%. If it's not the first and the best, the Bible says God rejects it and he won't receive it. So, you know, a lot of times people go to church and they say, well, I pay my tithe if I can. And what they're saying is, I'm going to give God the leftovers. If I've got enough to give, to pay my tithe to God when I get finished, then I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. Or many times people will do it constantly. They'll do it consistently, but it's always the last thing they do. I've learned to make the tithe the first check that comes out of my checkbook. It's not the last. It's not the middle. It's always the first. And when I'm doing that by faith. Somebody said, well, what if you run out of money? Well, according to the Word of God, if I'm a tither and a giver, I'm not going to. And if I say, what if I'm going to, then I have just changed my words, and they are not in alignment with what I'm doing. My words have to align with my actions of faith. My words have to be words of faith.
So would you say, Dr. Vance, that tithing was and your prosperity go hand in hand? Is that why you believe that you're in the upper 1% of the wealthiest people in the world? And what does that feel like?
Well, without any doubt, tithing and giving is what has brought the ideas, the concepts, the insights to me. And giving, Jesus said, Luke 6:38, opens men's hands unto you. Now, you know, a lot of people, and I really do wish we had a whole bunch of time because I feel like I'm just touching on some of these things and maybe people won't have enough information to act on it. Church folks have heard for years in the circles that I've run with that there's going to be a great end-time wealth transfer. Now, there is a wealth transfer. It actually is going on right now in case people don't know it, and it's not it's never been marked as an end-time wealth transfer. There's been wealth transfer from what God calls wicked people or evil people, and some of those folks are in church, by the way, and probably when I say evil or wicked, it probably brings up the idea of a thief or a, well, maybe I shouldn't have used that term. Maybe they are thieves. If they're not tithing, they would be called that biblically. But they we would think of rapists and murderers and that kind of thing, and that's not what I'm talking about. Any time that we do something opposite to what God instructs us to do, it's called evil. And there are people that there is wealth that is being transferred from people that just are not obeying the Word of God, not following the instruction of the Lord. That wealth is transferring to people that are following the instruction of the Lord. Jesus told in the book of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 25, told a story that we call the parable of the talents. And he told about a man receiving one talent. He called his servants to him, and a talent was a weight measure of gold and silver at that time. He gave one of them one talent, one of them two talents, and one of them five talents. You probably know this story, and many church folks do, that the man with five talents went and doubled the five talents and came back to his Lord. When his Lord came back in town, he told him, his master, I've doubled the five talents. And he said this to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Now, the old church mentality is, well, bless the Lord when we get to heaven, you know, we're going to get all that. We have thrown too much of this stuff out in front of us so far that we're not tapping into what God has available for us today. And I'm real concerned about the mentality of church people that do that.
Right.
The man with two talents did the same thing. Came, said, he doubled. He said, I've doubled the money. The Lord, the master, said the same thing to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Make your ruler over many things. The guy with one talent came and said, whew, he said, I'm glad you're back. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm glad you're back. He said, I took your money and hid it in the ground. He said, I was afraid. I knew that you wanted me to increase this money. And he said, I didn't want anything to do with it. He said, here's your money back. And the master said to him, he said, you could have at least put my money with the exchangers and got interest from it. He said, you've done nothing with it. He said, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. Wicked and slothful, that's strong language.
That is.
And he told him to depart into everlasting fire. What does that sound like to you?
Sounds like hell.
That's what it sounds like to me, too. Now, all over not managing correctly. And it wasn't just managing the affairs of life, but it was managing money. So he wasn't managing. Do you know what happened to the man that had the one? The one talent, he said to his servants, he said, you take the one talent from the man that did not do anything with it and give it to the man with ten. Now, what I can hear is people with a poverty mentality screaming, that's not fair. He's already got 10. But God says what's fair is when you learn to manage correctly, according to his word and according to his will, when you learn to manage correctly what he lets come through your hands, he's going to multiply it, make sure that you get it back, and people that he calls wicked and slothful, there's going to be a wealth transfer from them to the people that are good managers. Now, this is interesting to me. There is foreclosures going on like crazy right now in
the
United States. Like crazy. Kelly and I, my wife and I, bought three houses last year. One of the houses that we bought, we gave $6,600 for. Now,
amazing.
It obviously needs some repair, but it would have cost us a minimum of $50,000 to $60,000 just to put the frame up for this house. And we went in and gutted it, and we're going to make, obviously, several thousand dollars on it. Where did that come from? See, what many people think sometimes is money disappears or wealth disappears. Wealth never disappears. Wealth just transfers ownership. Material things don't disappear on the planet. They move from one owner to another owner. People have got to learn to position themselves so that they can be the person that the wealth transfers to and not from. Now, I hope that nobody gets angry or frustrated with me or writes me any ugly letters because I don't mean to be mean toward anyone, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that we have got to learn to become managers that God has called us to be so that we can be successful people. And part of that management is learning to take the tithe and do what God said to do with it, and then take the offering and do what he said to do with the offering. People ask me, where do you get all the money to buy all the property that you buy? My wife and I, we're not like extremely, extremely wealthy, extravagant people. We're just wealthy people.
Dr. Vince, you're in the upper 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. What does that feel like?
Well, it feels good. It feels good to eat what you want, drive what you want, and live where you want. And go and come when you want. It feels real good because I've been to the place where that I had to scrounge through my dashboard to see if I had enough money to buy a McDonald's hamburger at times.
Right.
So I know I've been on both sides of this thing. My wife and I are incredible. We tithe everything that comes through our hands. We give probably close to 30, 40%, sometimes 50 or 60% of our income back into ministry and into different charitable contributions, make different charitable contributions like feeding poor people and various things like that. But God just keeps blessing us. I told our congregation here at our church here a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I can't hardly think of things for over a month or two that God doesn't bless me with them. And, you know, people ask the question, well, how did you get to that place? I just kept obeying God. And this is not, I want you to understand, I want the listeners to understand, that this is not let's make a deal with God. Okay, God, I'm going to bring the tithe. Okay, now you've got to do so-and-so. You know, I've heard people say God's bound to his word. Well, he is bound to his word as long as you're operating by kingdom laws and kingdom principles. If you're not operating in love, see, that's the Bible calls that the royal law, and the law of love, when we talk about love or charity in the New Testament, it is us doing good. It's not an affection or a fondness like we want to hug someone, but it's us choosing to do good. It's the golden rule. If we learn to do everything that we do, allow it to be motivated by the love of God, that I'm not bringing my tithe because God makes me bring it. I'm bringing it because I love God. I'm not giving in the offering because God makes me give in the offering or his word commands for me to give. I give because of love. I'm motivated by love. I want to do everything that I do. I don't have to pastor a church to live. You know, there's some guys that need the income to stay alive. I don't, thank God, I don't need that. We do a national television program that actually it's international, just went international, 5 days a week. It's a teaching program, a preaching program, me and my wife back and forth on different things. We do some set down. We take some of the preaching from the services here. We do all of this because we love the Lord, and we want other people to learn how to operate in these same principles that we operate in. I've had people be mean and rude toward me and say, you know, you just try to get people to give money to you so that you can be rich. I didn't get rich by getting other people's money from church offerings and tithes. We got our wealth from doing what we tell other people to do. And that's learning to be tithers and givers and then operate and manage the things that God has placed within our grasp, manage them according to the will and the word of God. It works.
Oh, Dr. Vance, that's so powerful. That's just awesome information. And, you know, like you, I'm just a living example of that working in a person's life. You know, there's so much that I want to ask you. Let's talk about the favor of God. What is the favor of God? What would that look like in a person's life? And how would my listeners begin to receive the favor of God in their lives?
You know, I probably have a little different angle on just about everything that the Word of God teaches. Because I look at it from a very practical point of view. Just did a series of messages a few weeks back on attracting God's favor. There are actually some things that we do to become magnetic to the favor of God. In the Old Testament, the word favor was actually when God would turn his face towards someone. If you weren't experiencing the favor of God, he turned his face away from you. Now, obviously, if someone was desiring to be blessed, they would want the favor of God to shine upon them. That was part of the blessing that God told Moses to give Aaron as the high priest to speak over the people of Israel, that the face of God would shine upon the people. It doesn't just happen randomly. You know, the scripture said in the book of Proverbs that the curse causeless shall not come. That means the curse doesn't come into someone's life unless there's a cause for it. Now, it might not be you that causes the curse. There's generational past generations that bring and hook curses into families' lives that many times will pass from one generation to the next generation. And people need to learn how what causes that curse, first of all, and then how to stop it. They can do that. But in the opposite of that, the blessing doesn't come without a cause either, and the favor of God does not come without a cause. There are things that we've got to learn to do that, and again, it's following the instructions and laws of God. You know, so, I've had people tell me, you know, that stuff is legalistic. There's nothing legalistic about you following the instructions of the Lord. Legalistic stuff is when something has become a man issue instead of a God issue. God tells us, Jesus said in the New Testament, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he said, there's no way we're going to have a relationship unless you love me. He said, but if you love me, I'll love you, and then the Father will love you because you love me. If we learn to start operating by following the instructions of God, there's a bunch of things that will bring the favor of God. One thing is praising God genuinely out of our heart, just giving him honor and praise, obeying his word, following his instruction in every area of our life will cause the favor of God to pass over thousands of people and become magnetic to your life. I've seen God's favor many, many times in my life. I had a banker called me a year and a half or 2 years ago, and he said, I've got a fellow sitting here told me to call you. And I said, what do you want you to call me about? It's the vice president of the bank. He said, I've got a couple of houses that I've repossessed, and he said, you might be interested in buying them. Well, I ended up buying one of them for $19,000. Now, why did he call me? He could have called a whole list of people. I believe it's the favor of God. I believe that when I do what God has instructed me to do, that it causes God's face to shine upon me, and his favor will move through other people that will cause blessings to come to me and pass by other people to get to me.
Well, you know, that's so interesting. I go to the gym about three times a week, and it's one trainer in there, and I don't really know him, but I could just sort of tell that he has been under a lot of pressure. And so Dr. Vance, I just one day went in and said to him, well, you know, I've just been praying for you. I didn't preach to him. He said, well, thank you so much. And he shared a little bit. He's a former boxer. He shared a little bit about what was going on in his life. And ever since then, when I walk into the gym and it's very large, he says to me, Constance, anything you want. You want a drink? He brings me drinks, sodas. And I just have favor with him. And
absolutely.
I can work out, and he just comes and brings me things. He has the other trainers to come and help me. And that was just a small example of the favor of God just really just coming into my life, and I was so grateful for that.
And you know what caused that was you operating in love toward a man that you didn't even know.
Right.
Every time we follow an instruction of God, the favor of God, if we don't do something to block it, you know, again, there's a lot of people that will do a lot of things that will sabotage the blessings of God coming their direction or the favor of God coming their direction. I believe it's one of the biggest things that we as Christians need to learn how to do is quit doing things that will destroy the blessings of God. My wife and I went to a restaurant just three years ago maybe. We had eaten at this restaurant numerous times, scores of times. Somebody had told us about it, that they made home-cooked food. Now, I like food with grease in it. I like, you know, I know it's not healthy. You've been talking about the gym. I have to watch what I eat, but I still love fried food. These folks fixed food like somebody out on a farm somewhere. I mean, mashed potatoes, gravy, homemade pies and cakes. And we went in there one evening. We'd actually been working on some of our properties that we had. Went in there one evening, probably 6 o'clock or so, and sat down at a little double table next to the wall. Lady came, took our order, and she walked away. And I happened to look up, and there was a roach crawling down the wall right behind Kelly's head.
Oh, no. No woman wants to see that.
I turned real quietly to Kelly. I told her to look back. I said, there's a roach coming towards you. She said, I swear if that roach gets closer, I'm getting up and leaving from this restaurant. Well, there was a waitress came by about that time, and I real quietly pointed to the roach This roach was about 4 feet up on the wall. She hiked her foot up on the wall, smeared the roach all the way down the wall within about a foot of the floor, and walked away.
Oh, my God.
She didn't get a rag, wipe it off. She didn't say, I'm so sorry. She didn't go get the manager. We couldn't hardly eat our food, obviously, when it came. Now, I told you that story to say this. That restaurant, as far as I'm concerned, had the best food in this entire area, but I've not been back since then. You know why? It just took one roach in the wrong place to ruin all of the good stuff that that restaurant had created for me.
Wow.
Many times we do the same thing in business. I've seen people in the business world have the abilities, have the skills, and they'll do one wrong thing repeatedly and sabotage their businesses. I've seen people in the church world. They'll follow instructions to the T on certain things that God has given them. Their heart will be right toward God, and they'll mess up in one area, and it sabotages all kinds of other things in their lives. We've got to learn to just start being sensitive to the things of God, be obedient to God, and really have a genuine heart to serve God and just want to love God. When we do that, there's all kinds of good things that God will start bringing our direction. One of the things that I've learned to do is pray a simple prayer every day that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Now, that's only part of that prayer, and I pray a bunch more of that prayer, but that one part of that prayer, for me to have revelation about the heart of God, for me to have the wisdom of God, causes me to be able to act and think and to believe things differently than people that do not have revelation concerning the things of God.
Now, that's just great insight about favor. We have about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about faith. People always email me and say, Constance, how do I get more faith? How do I get more faith for a car, faith for a relationship? So what is faith, and how can we begin to implement it into our lives?
You know, I've had people say, what is faith? And I remember growing up in church, people would say, well, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, now, that was about as clear to me as a young person as nothing, as muddy water.
Right.
It didn't mean anything to me. As I got older, I made it my business to begin to study things that people said religiously that I honestly don't believe they knew what they were talking about. I think they could quote scripture, but I don't believe that they knew what they were saying. The word faith, if you go back to the original Greek, that was the original text that the New Testament was written in. The original definition for the word faith is persuaded. Now, I've had people say, you know, I'm trying to have faith. You know, that's like saying I'm trying to be persuaded.
Right.
Have you ever had anybody lie to you?
Absolutely.
Have you ever believed them?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I think that probably everybody that is listening to us has done the same thing. And I've asked myself the question, I've had people that were such good liars around me, I knew they were lying, and I believed them anyway.
Right.
That's bad. That's bad good liar. Or a good bad liar, however you'd want to say it. It's bad and bad. Anyway, what we do is we are persuaded by the virtue, let me back up. The amount of things that we expose ourselves to will develop faith in us. It will persuade us one way or the other. What we expose ourselves to the most, that's going to be what we eventually believe. That's eventually going to be what we're persuaded about. That's the reason that you can believe a lie, is because you hear it over and over and over and over again. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's a law. That's why faith is called a law. If you keep hearing something over and over again, you're going to believe it. I refuse to cooperate with the news. The news telling us that the economy is bad and that
Right. Things
are horrible. I'm not going to cooperate with that. In fact, I'm going to hear more of the Word of God than I hear what the news says. If I hear more of the news saying the economy's bad and we're not going to be able to get out of this thing and who knows what's going to happen next, that's what I'm going to eventually believe. Now, faith by itself, just being persuaded of something, doesn't create anything for anybody. James said in James chapter 2 that faith without action or works is dead. It's lifeless. It won't produce anything. When faith is put into motion, it's called believing throughout the Scriptures. In the New Testament, the word believe used almost 300 times in the New Testament. Almost every time it's used, it's the verb form of the word faith. There are no promises given to people with faith unless their faith is in motion. Promises are given to believers. John 14 and 12, the Bible says, "He that believeth on me," Jesus said, "the works that I do, he will do them also, and greater works than these shall he do." Mark 9, 23, "All things are possible to him that believeth." Can't even get born again unless you believe. You've got to put your faith in motion. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him." All of those are the verb form of the word faith. So that means our faith has to be doing something. There has to be action that is connected with our faith. If you're just persuaded of something, you can sit and do nothing with it. But if you get up and do something with that persuasion, then that's believing. That's where promises really start to take place in people's lives. That's when we become people that please God. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now watch, there's the word faith and believe both in the same sentence. He said you can't please God without faith, but if you come to God, you have to believe that he exists. Believe that he exists, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's our responsibility to put our faith in motion. I ask people the question, what do you want to believe? Because what you want to believe is what you should be exposing yourself to. I've had people tell me, well, I want to believe that's true. Well, if you want to believe the Bible's true, pick it up and read it. And if you can't understand the King James Version, get another version of it. Read something, the New International Version or the New American Standard or something that's written more in today's language that you can understand, because you need to have an understanding of the Scripture as well as just hearing it. But faith will create, faith is created in us when we continue to expose ourselves to something. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 that the sower sows the word. Comes from the Greek word logos, which is anything that displays something. It can be a spoken word, an action, a gesture, some sort of event that you would see. So we need to expose ourselves to the things and the words of things that we want to be like, because if you don't, you're going to be like what you expose yourself to anyway. It's a law in the kingdom of God.
Wow, you're just so full of wisdom and inspiration and insight, and I wish we had more time, but I do want to allow you some time to really share about your church. How can people contact you? What about your website? What books, CDs, DVDs do you have available? And if you and your beautiful little wife, Kelly, are available to speak, share with our listeners all over the world what that information is.
Kelly and I do go out and speak. Obviously, we're doing a five-day a week television broadcast here, and most of that video is based out of our church here at Empowered Church, and we're located right in the tri-state of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. It's right where the Ohio River meets and the Big Sandy River meets, all three of those states. We're right in the point, the western point of West Virginia, Barbersville, West Virginia. If you're in this area, we'd love to have you come be a part of the services at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Kelly and I are accepting speaking engagements. We're going to be down in Central Florida just in the upcoming weeks. People can check all of these dates, and you can find a bookstore online that has all kinds of CDs and books in it by me and my wife Kelly. At charlesvance.org, charlesvance.org. There's all kinds of contact information there. If you want to contact us, you can do it through email, or there's a phone there that is a phone order line. So you can get a hold of us there by getting on the website. And we would love to come and be in your area this year.
Well, I just want to encourage all of my listeners all over the world to please go to Dr. Vance's website. You know, I'm really prayerful about who I bring on the show, and I believe that everybody who I bring on, that the Spirit of God has really directed me to bring that particular person on as an expert to really begin to share with you just life-changing information. And today is no exception. I just needed more time. So we have about 3 minutes. What would be some parting words that you would like to share with our listeners, Dr. Vance?
Well, since I think it's just so important for us to have a right relationship with God, just and that comes through not necessarily our conduct, but it comes through what Jesus performed for us and what he did for us. Now, our conduct has something to do with that, and if you think that that's completely disconnected from that, then you're not reading the Bible correctly. God wants our conduct. God takes us into his family when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, make him the boss, the master of our life, believe that he died for our sins, and believe that God raised him from the dead. That puts us in relationship and causes God to operate in our lives as our Father. It causes us to be heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I would just encourage people more than anything, the starting thing with all of this, if you're going to operate in the success principles of the Word of God, get a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a key. Jesus died for your sins, so he paid for your sins. And the Bible said it's already done. It's already been done. It's once and for all. It's a done deal. And people can just make a simple confession of faith. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means he's your boss, your master, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I'd encourage people, if they're not born again, to get born again. Do it today. You can make that simple confession of faith. Find a good church that's radical. You know, there's no sense in getting in a church that's just dull. People need to get in a church that's preaching some radical truth that's practical, that will change your life. If you're not in a church like that, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and get where God wants you to so that you can be the person that God designed you to be. He designed us to be successful while we're here on the earth as well as when we go and be with him.
Well, Dr. Vance, it had just been a wonderful opportunity for me to share with you and get a chance to speak to you personally. And of course, you have just blessed my listeners all over the world. And once again, all of my listeners, please go to his website and just take advantage of all of those wonderful products that he and Kelly have already produced just for you. And once again, this is Constance coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, saying, remember that the best is yet to come, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.